This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris on medical leave. Jeremy, I'm sitting there last night. I'm enjoying basketball, women's college basketball. Maryland, double overtime. How do you foul on a three-point shot at the end of overtime? They prevailed. But my heart was broken later on.
Yeah?
My heart was absolutely snapped in half. Juju Watkins, 5 minutes into the game, goes down, season-ending ACL surgery is going to have come, I think, today or tomorrow. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
The Trojans went on to win 96-59 over Mississippi State, but still, my heart is broken.
Yeah, I mean, look, you think about the next, how long it's going to take her to get back, what that means for, not to totally be dismissive of USC, but it also makes you wonder, I don't know that they can win this whole thing without her.
Yeah,
she's too important.
Nah.
But that's on the back burner because clearly it's about her. I mean, the good news for something like this is with medicine today, like we've seen guys get back out there relatively quickly, all things considered. This used to be a year or more, and now you're seeing guys get back out there in 6 to 8 months.
I hope, because a basketball season without her next year, I'm sure, you know, there's always great players, but she's just one of the special ones.
I heard someone say, and I think it's very fair, that, like, I think Juju's on the level of Caitlin Clark talent-wise, like, maybe even better than her, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
I think so.
But somebody had pointed out that she doesn't have the rival like Caitlin Clark did. And when you think about it, like, people don't want to give Angel Reese any credit, mm-hmm. but that whole thing really pushed her. Like, I think some people want Paige Buchers to be that rival.
See,
I
was about to say that, because she does have that rival in Paige Becker. What she does not have is the rival bad guy.
How often does USC play UConn?
Every year. And they were lined up to play once again in the NCAA tournament. It's just that there's no bad guy in that.
See, and I think the Maryland-Iowa stuff with Angel here kind of helped with that rivalry a little bit. So when those two were meeting up,
right.
you know, we got
right.
a chance to see that.
There's no bad guy in it. I think people underestimate how much Angel pushes that by being the bad guy.
Yeah.
I would say embrace it, because sometimes she doesn't really embrace it. Sometimes she pushes back on it. But, you know, she kind of took on that role. But nonetheless, very sad. Maryland won yesterday, double overtime. We will have Brenda Freeze on the show at 9 o'clock.
Where's she at again?
She's in Maryland.
Okay.
They won in Maryland. The top four seeds get to play.
Yeah, I know. They play at home.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here thinking about when you said that, I'm going, uh-oh. You ain't wake them up.
No. I kind of scheduled it with Joe. before the game tipped off.
He texted Brenda in the first overtime. Can you do 9 tomorrow?
And then when the second overtime began, I texted her an emoji with my arms up like, well, why you not asking me?
Hey, what's going on? Stop acting like you're busy. I can see you.
You still on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's an exciting game. What's going on, man?
Pick up the phone. It's like, yeah, look, I do think this week and specifically, when you're heading out Wednesday or Thursday? Is it Wednesday for you, Rob? Wednesday evening? Going to Toronto?
Yes. No. Wednesday, tomorrow, right after the show.
Right after the show. And it just leads me into, we've got March Madness on Thursday and opening day for baseball. Feels a little bit different that it's not our true opening day here at home, but man, it's so good. Like, I'm looking at pitching matchups. I was diving into all this stuff last night and into this morning, trying to get ready for opening day.
Yeah. I can't wait, man. I can't. It's kind of a weird feeling, 'cause opening day on the road, but I like it, though. I like it. You know, like as you said, to hop on that bird tomorrow, drive down. Got to drive to Dulles.
Yeah.
For a straight shot into Toronto. Drive down to Dulles, get on that bird, head up to Rogers Center. Doing the show from there on Thursday and Friday, and should be fun, man.
Yeah, look, I think
Tony Taters.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even think about that. Getting to see him and
gonna be weird.
As you look at all the matchups and everything we have, I was looking at some of the pitchers here, and you've got some big names. Obviously, it's opening day, and this is the one thing I love about it is you typically get to see ones versus ones, unless there's injuries going through teams. But with Toronto, they're gonna be trotting out Jose Barrios, whatever you want to call him. We'll see. We'll see what he looks like this year because he's been a box of chocolates.
How do you we think about the kid Povich getting the home opener start?
I'm fine with that. I think it's you could get.
I was a little disappointed.
Really?
Yeah, because I think a guy that's put in the work who can't get a regular season opener but kind of earned it was Dean Kramer.
Yeah, but then you're changing up your rotation just to fit that narrative. But I'd rather have Dean Kramer pitching third and then pitching after or pitching second, depending on how they want to use him with Grayson's injury. But I'd rather have him pitching as many times as he can. So I'm going to put him second.
There's going to be some openings and some breaks to revamp the rotation. I just felt like, you know, that guy kind of deserved it. Home opener special. And I kind of think he deserved it. But nonetheless, you know, get to see the young man at the home opener. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Is it me or does it seem like the NFL has been kind of quiet? Does the NCAA tournament kind of put the NFL in a different place for a couple of weeks?
No, I just think it's kind of a weird, because you've already had the peak of free agency.
Right.
And then now it's just like whatever's left. Unless there was a major trade, and then I would wonder too, like, I still think, even if there is a huge trade, it would have to be of some sort of magnitude to take away from March Madness's first weekend.
Because like when Joe was gone, I was just scheduling the show by myself, and I was struggling to find some NFL stuff. So I'm glad this is Joe's first rundown since he's been back. And I'm looking at him like, okay, so I'm I don't feel bad.
You're not
now.
The only one.
I'm not the only one because it's nothing out there. There's no NFL stuff out there. I mean, the one he has on with Colin Cowherd said about Lamar is great. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. I would have picked that one too, but it's like I'm looking at NFL. I'm like, there's nothing going on, man.
Do you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers? Because I didn't think you wanted to.
No, nobody does.
You want to talk about Ward?
I agree with you. There's no, Joe, there's nothing out there.
I had options. I took them out. Because I think the Aaron Rodgers thing is interesting just because he's holding that team hostage. And I think the Cam Ward thing is interesting because he's like looking at the Titans like saying, you better take me number one.
I think this quarterback class is, I don't think they're trash because I think they're all going to be starting quarterbacks someday. But I don't think anybody in this class is worthy of a real top five pick.
I think if we honestly look at it and take the names out of it and just skill-wise, this quarterback trash is class is trash.
Quarterback trash is class.
Yeah, this quarterback trash is class. That's
classic trash.
Yeah. It's just not a good year for QBs.
It's not.
And what tends to happen, there's probably one in this group. Maybe it's Shador. Maybe it's Jackson Dart. Maybe it is Cam Ward. That ends up being way better than we thought. But the bulk of this is going to be trash.
Nah, they're not better than we thought. They are who we thought they were. Yeah. Vinny Serrato used to always say, you convince yourself to fall in love, Look at what they are initially and go with what your initial thought was. Because if not, especially with quarterbacks, he said, you convince yourself to fall in love.
I ran into Mel Kiper Jr. at the boat show. I've told this story before. When Blaine Gabbert, the year he was getting drafted, because Andrew Luck and was it RG3 said they were going back. And then I ran into Mel Kiper. I was like, hey, all these teams need quarterbacks. Like, who's the next best quarterback? And he goes, I think so-and-so takes Blaine Gabbert. And I'm going, why does he jump up an entire round talent-wise just because you need a quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't there. It's like there was such disparity. And Gabbert played in the league for a while, but we all know what he was.
As a backup.
Yeah, at best.
And that's fine. That's fine being a backup. I don't, you know, but you're not, you don't draft the guy in the first round to be a backup. You don't.
Yeah. You don't draft the guy in the top 10 to be a freaking backup. You know,
and you don't draft the guy in the top 10 to be a serviceable quarterback, because I think that's who these guys are. I think they're serviceable quarterbacks. I don't think they're franchise changers.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see what happens. Like, the draft is approaching. It does kind of feel like this isn't the most exciting draft that we've had in years past, and I don't know if it's because the Ravens are drafted at the back end, which is typical, or if there's just not that upper echelon talent at the top that gets you excited.
I went on a station in Cleveland last night, and they wanted to talk draft. They were trying to get me to, well, what name is Baltimore falling in love with? None. They're not really falling in love with a name right now. I said, you know we need pass rushers. I start giving positions. I said, I think Baltimore football base is more, they went into the offseason more concerned with the current roster. Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
Yeah. No,
what's gonna happen with our left tackle? Are they gonna extend Derrick Henry? So those are the questions that Baltimore football fan base is more concerned about than who they're gonna draft.
Absolutely. The other thing that I would say is, like, I go on these shows as well. Like, you know, we always get hit up to off season stuff, and I tell the guys, I said, call me after the draft. Trying to predict who the Ravens are gonna draft it's like, come on, man.
You're the Browns, man. Your options are...
Yeah, you're picking second. I have an idea of who you may take.
I'm going 27th, for goodness sake. How do you... I don't know.
Well, remember when they took Kyle Hamilton? Nobody had Kyle Hamilton going to the Ravens. Mm-mm.
Barbershop topic of the day. Andrew Miller, former Baltimore Oriole, makes the news. We'll tell you why at 6:30. But on the other side, we're a little over 48 hours until opening day. What do you think the O's lineup looks like on Thursday? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:18 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 48 hours, a little bit more than 48 hours before the start of opening day. Now, Joe, can I ask you a question? Because I prepared for two different things. And because I thought of this after Juju got hurt and I thought it was late and I didn't want to text you. You asked for the lineup. Is this the lineup that we desire or the lineup that we expect?
They expect.
The lineup we expect. All right, thank you. So I prepared for both.
But, Joe, if the lineup I expect is the one I desire, can I still go with the one I desire then?
You can.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
What an ass.
He's not even making eye contact.
He just put his hand down. You know that's what we do most of the time.
Yeah.
With you. We just put our heads down.
Whatever, man.
Go with it. You know what I mean? Because that's who you are.
Well, I guess the key thing is when you're talking about what the lineup looks like on Thursday, you know, they say you can't win five in a row if you don't win the first one. Who's leading off? Who's the guy up top that sets the table? And it's a right-handed pitcher on Thursday, too. So is it Colton Cowser? Is that what you're doing? Are you going with him at leadoff?
No.
Because I think that's what I'm doing.
You see what you're doing? I'm not.
Who are you putting up there? Westberg?
Westberg.
Okay.
I'm putting Westberg up there.
I think I'm going Cowser, Rutschman. Man, I think they go O'Neill. I'm just wondering if they hit him three or four.
I got O'Neill three.
And then who are you putting at four?
I got four. I have Mountie.
That makes sense to me. And then I would have Westberg, I think. But that's three righties in a row. So maybe you're right with this. Maybe they do bat Westberg leadoff, go with Rutschman. Because, again, like, I think the whole point...
I have O'Neill, then I have Mountie, and then after Mountie, I have O'Hearn.
Okay.
Yeah.
DHing, yeah. Man.
They have a righty on the mound for Toronto.
You know, Reyes. Forgive me, what's the guy's name that we had from Masson yesterday, or the day before? The
Brendan Mortensen. I didn't forget his name. I didn't know who you're talking
about. No. All right, look, I didn't... I mean, it'd been okay.
Brendan Mortensen is one of the more talented guys in the business... And I told you the reason why I wanted him on because nobody else is really using him.
Yeah, and the other part, like, I asked
you
him
about... You gotta break
him in. I asked him about Ryan O'Hearn signing, and like, he made such a great point that it's hard to even argue with a team, because the Orioles are in such a weird situation where it's like, all right, we've got to bat some of the young guys, but we can't bat all of them. You know, we're still competing. We need to see what's what. And bringing back O'Hearn with the over 800 OPS against right-handed pitching, and that's all he's going to face, it's like... That's a huge discount for what you can do. And if you can flip it the opposite way with a right-handed bat DHing or however you want to platoon the guys, maybe it is a nice little situation to have with him. But you might be right with Westberg leading off because then they got to break up and get some lefties in there. I wonder where Holiday...
I misspoke. I'm sorry. I do not have O'Hearn batting fifth. I misspoke. I'm looking. I'm miscounting because my lineup is right here. Can I just give you my lineup? Mm-hmm. I have leading off that second base, Westberg. Batting second to catcher, Rutschman. Batting third in right field, O'Neill. Batting fourth at first base, Mountie. Batting fifth in left field, Cowser. Batting sixth to DH, O'Hearn. Batting seventh in center field, Said. Batting eighth at third base, Urias. And batting ninth to shortstop, Holiday. That's what I expect. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I expect.
You expect, either way, you expect that to be, those guys to be in the lineup.
Yes.
And yeah, because I was kind of thinking about what you're saying. So it makes more sense with Cowser in the middle lineup. I wonder if you want to break up. I don't want to.
You could.
I don't want to drop Mountcastle because he's their daddy.
Like, but you could put Cowser third and put O'Hearn fifth if you want to break up that righty thing going on.
Yeah,
I see where you're going with that.
And I hope people understand why that is, because like now with guys having to face three batters in a row or finish the inning. Like, you don't want to set up where the power righty's coming in, and now you got to make a decision on who do you want to make a switch? Do you want to bring in a lefty to face him?
You want the opposing team to make the decision, not you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You want the strategy to be based on what the pitcher's going to do. So I see where you're going with that, but I expect those guys to be in the lineup. I don't like Westberg at second. I don't, but I think he'll be at second. I don't like Holiday at shortstop, but I think he'll be at shortstop. I wish you would flip those two. I wish you would let Holiday get used to playing second because that's where he's going to be. Westberg is an all-star. He's established. He can go to shortstop, and then when the big fella gets back, move back to third and be fine. Be fine. I just don't want Holiday, who had a bad start last year when he came up, I don't want him flipping around.
Do people, like I've heard so many people talk about this team. Do you realize how good that lineup looks?
Man, I don't.
And Gunner's not even in it.
I'm going to say this again. Westberg, all-star. Rutschman, all-star. Cowser.
Should have won Rookie of the Year.
Seti, all-star. Urias, gold glove winner.
Well,
that's just starting lineup, man.
Seti and Urias are the two guys that you're like, okay, those are probably the ones where maybe I am concerned over the bat at times. But sometimes when Seti's hot, like, it's that thing keeps rolling. And if those are your two biggest concerns in your lineup, because I think Jackson Holiday is going to kill it. As I said to you, I think he moves himself up in the lineup. I just don't know where when you look at the way it's stacked.
And you're worried about Ramon Urias' bat? Okay. In 301 plate appearances, he batted .254 with an OPS of .745, 11 home runs, and 37 RBI.
And again,
That's the bat you're worried about.
I'm not worried about it. But if you had to pick one, it's like, okay.
But you just expressed the concern of some. Of a lot. That's the bat you're worried about. Oh, that was a fluke. You're right. The year before then, 396 plate appearances. He batted .264 with a .703 OPS.
I got news for you.
The year before then, he won a gold glove batting .250 with a .720 OPS and 16 home runs.
When Gunner comes back 1-9, the only team that has a better hitting lineup than them 1-9 is the Dodgers. And people, you could say what you want. Go look at the OPS. Look at the numbers of what they want from their guys. Now, they still got to do this crap in the postseason because we ain't seen them.
But we got to get to the postseason. It's 162 games to get there. And Jeremy, 1-9, they do have the best lineup with an option of about 12 players for that 1-9.
Yes.
It's not like, well, they got 9. No, they got about 12 players that they can make 1-9 and still have the best lineup in the American
League. You just went through a lineup, and the toughest thing we had to figure out is who's leading off. Because there's so many good bats and how you want to stack up the lineup.
And whether what you want to stack righties.
Yeah. This, did you have Kierstead in your lineup at all?
No. No.
What? No?
That's the thing.
But he's got to.
For who?
But he's got to get a. You got to give him some at bats.
For who? Yes, you're right. Fool. Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I don't. What do y'all got Mateos at in this lineup? Because I'm quite sure
he's coming off the bench. That's why I got him. Pinch running.
Pitch running?
Yeah.
You don't think he's going to be playing shortstop?
No, this is opening day lineup. I don't think he's going to be. I'm not saying he's not going to be in the lineup, Rashawn. I just think he's going to be not in the opening day lineup. He's going to get his 250 to 300 plate appearances. I just don't think he's going to be in the opening day lineup. Jeremy, I got to say, I'm glad you are as excited as I am. I thought I was the only one.
No, I mean, I've been waiting for this for all the naysayers to watch this team and see how good they actually are, even with the injuries they've had.
Rockabaco joins us at 7:30, but on the other side, our barbershop topic of the day. Andrew Miller says MLB owners have refused to do anything about the league's bottom feeder teams. I couldn't agree with Andrew Miller more. Barbershop topic of the day up next on The Fan. Good Taco Tuesday morning to you, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Andrew Miller, what show was that, Joe? You remember? It was on Foul Territory. I knew, yeah. I appeared on Foul Territory yesterday, and I'm screaming, amen. Say it louder for the people in the back. This is what Andrew Miller, former Baltimore Oriole, had to say.
They don't want that money to fully go back to the bottom teams and even out. They're just looking for a way to spend as little as they possibly can on players and put more money in their pocket, which they're businessmen. We understand that. These guys are billionaires for a reason, right? I mean, they're not stupid business people. But, yeah, as far as addressing that, I think, like I said, we've done a few things. We want to go further. You know, the most obvious is, you know, working on revenue sharing, and the league has been very difficult, and if – you know, to be completely blunt, they've said no, you know, a lot of times that this is not something they'll touch. It's too politically, you know, motivated on their end. They just don't get the votes, whatever it may be. But we have ideas and we're going to work on that. And that's what we're sharing with players. And that's what we're going to spend the next 2 years trying to figure out what are ways that are win-wins for everybody. We, you know, again, going back to the players want to win, players want the game to be as great as possible. We all grew up loving this game. A lot of us now have kids that, you know, play the show, turn on the game every night, watch the recaps in the morning. That's what my son does. He comes downstairs, he turns the recaps on and sees what happens. And, you know, we have ways to address that are not a cap.
Amen. See, people talk so much about a salary cap. What they don't understand, Jeremy, is the NFL is the NFL because they have a salary floor. Teams must spend at least 89% of the cap over a four-year period. You have to spend money. You have to spend money.
Well, as I don't know, the guy, was it Mark Ryan? One of the best overnight guys I've heard out of Detroit. He was talking about this on the drive-in, and I usually don't listen to sports talk radio on the drive-in. I listen to music. And he brought up the fact that the Dodgers' luxury tax this year is going to be higher than about half the team's payroll in Major League Baseball. Their luxury tax, and you also got to figure in, their luxury tax, they took all the deferred money, so it's not hitting as hard as it should. But that's where we're getting top heavy, and people keep focusing on that, which I think that is an issue. But as he's pointed, the one thing he said is that the number one team that spent the most money has lost in the playoffs more than they've won the World Series. So it's working. It's like, well, no because you give yourself a chance to be in the playoffs every single year, which what?
I don't want to hear that.
I didn't like that part of it, but I understood what he was trying to do.
I don't want to hear that.
But when I've said
okay,
this, look
let
at
me ask you this. The other teams that won instead of that team, probably in the top five in payroll.
Well, they all are.
Exactly. Look, so just
how often does the top five payroll team miss the playoff? Tell me that.
Exactly.
Tell me that.
I don't want to hear that. Well, they're number one. No, that's not what we're saying. Saying the top five teams. Listen, I think my number, you shouldn't be a Major League Baseball team if you're spending less than $95 million. Okay, if you want to negotiate it down to 90, that's fine. The Oakland Athletics last year spent $60 million in payroll. That's an abomination. $60 million in payroll. I mean, that's that. How do you do that? How do you operate? How do you tell your fan base that you want to compete when you're spending $60 million in payroll? Even if we went the 27-man roster, that means they're spending $2.2 million per player. Then you and I both know they used more than 27 men last year.
Yes.
But just with the 27-man roster, each player is averaging $2.2 million. You're not supposed to win with that. Pirates, $85 million last year. I just believe that just if you have a salary floor and teams have to spend X amount of dollars, I think, you know, you want to be honest, I think you should have to spend about $100 million, honestly, in payroll. Because if the Mets are spending $305 million, you want to start making things even, it should be about $100 million in payroll.
Well, I hate saying it because, look, Pittsburgh is a great sports city. When you want to think about all the things that they have there, the three major sports, or three of the four at least, and what the Pirates are doing, I mean, they should be disbanded. They should get rid of that team or move them somewhere else or force that owner to sell it. Like, the Pirates' payroll has been absurd. And as I pointed out the other day, the last long-term contract, and you can't even multi-year is what I should say, contract that they've given to a free agent was a Von Noble on a two-year deal back in 2016.
Von Noble. Oh,
you're not trying to win.
No, you're not.
You're just collecting money. Meanwhile, you've got the best pitching prospect maybe that we've seen, and it's kind of crazy thinking about that when you think about how great Steven Strasburg was coming out of college. But with Paul Skeens, they have this amazing young pitching staff, and they're going to waste it because the owner won't spend any money. It's the same guy that got rid of Rowdy Tellez when he was just a couple at bats away from hitting a roster bonus. Are you kidding me?
Jeremy, your average Major League Baseball player makes $4.66 million. Okay, I just told you that last year, the Oakland Athletics, the average salary just for 27 players was 2.77.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you go by that, let's do that math, 4.66. If you multiply that times 27, that means that's $125 million. That should be your, if the average salary is 4.66, then shouldn't that be your floor?
Yeah.
That should be a floor.
It should be. And the other part of this, too, because I don't want to let the top-heavy teams off either, because what Major League Baseball allowed the Dodgers to do in deferring all this money, Shohei Ohtani's getting paid $2 million this year.
Yeah.
So that's not even affecting the luxury cap or luxury tax. When you start looking at what the Dodgers did this year and understanding that Mookie Betts got some sort of disease and lost like 25 pounds in over in Japan, so that's why you didn't see him in that series.
Right.
He was like, I was 175, now I'm down, maybe it was more like 22 or something, I'm down to 155 or one, whatever it was. But he lost a ton of weight, and he's now just starting to eat food and hold it down. And you might go, oh my God, they lost their MVP. Yeah, except they got two more. They got five closers in the bullpen. They have five number one starters on their team. You can slice it any way you want, and yeah, you can say, we don't know what Sasaki's going to be. He got paid like a number one starter. And it's an embarrassment of riches of what they have, and their luxury tax should be way more than what it is for allowing them to defer almost a $1 billion contract. It's ridiculous. But the whole point of this is talking about the floor, and here I am still talking about the Dodgers, because there's got to be something both ways. We can't sit here and just bitch about all the money they're spending and say what the Pirates are doing is okay. It's not.
It's not. If you spend the money, then you won't have the – think about this. If you spent the money, then all of a sudden – all these players aren't available for teams like the Dodgers and the Mets, and just to cherry pick. How late in the game did the Dodgers sign Teoscar Hernandez in free agency?
It was a little after some guys
because
signed.
No one else is paying them. If you had to spend money, then somebody else is stepping up. What does the NBA do? Oh, that guy shouldn't make that much money. Yes, you know why they do? Because they got to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why those guys make so much money. You have to spend money. And when you live in a world where you don't have to spend, spending is optional, you're not going to spend for these teams that don't want to do it. They're not going to spend.
And with that being said, I don't want to sound like I'm being a total homer here with the Orioles, but I do think there's a big difference when you're going through a rebuild. But even if they had the salary floor, you would still have to do that during a rebuild. So maybe that would change how teams do this. If Major League Baseball doesn't like the whole rebuild and, hey, let's blow it up and be bad for 3 or 4 years, because what you're seeing in the NBA right now down the stretch, it's just disgusting. I mean, this is just, we're less than 2 weeks away from the playoffs, and these cats are, I guess, 2 weeks worth of games, I should say, from the playoffs, and these cats are, they're not even trying. They're not even trying to show you that they're trying to lose. I mean, they're not worried about any of that stuff. And I know when you put, baseball is one of the weird sports where it doesn't matter if you have the highest payroll. You could have a pitcher that's just on and locking down the other team. We've seen pitchers throw no-hitters that you would never expect to throw a no-hitter. It's just a different sport. And with having a series, more times than not, the best team's going to win.
Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Barbershop topic of the day. Andrew Miller says MLB owners have refused to do anything about the league's bottom feeder teams. Do you agree? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Andrew Miller says MLB owners have refused to do anything about the league's bottom feeders. I say they need a salary floor. I will tell you this. MLB plans new national TV packages for 2028. and changes the revenue share. And the reason why I say that is, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's not total revenue sharing off television packages and revenue. That's another thing that would probably help out. And the league is looking at creating their own situation, because that's when their contracts with ESPN and all those other companies run out. So let's see. Let's stay tuned on what MLB plans to do in 2028 when it comes to TV revenue sharing.
Okay.
Let's go to Lou in Edgewood. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Before I get to my point, Edgewood High School won their baseball team won their first game this year, but they lost every game last year, so it was a huge win for Edgewood High School yesterday.
Good stuff.
Yes, very good stuff, dude. It was an exciting game, 3-1.
Did your son play for them? Your son play for them?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My son does play for them. I figured that.
So listen, my point that I want to make is teams like that are in Florida, Miami, and Tampa Bay, always struggling to have attendance problems, right?
Right.
And they're bottom feeders of teams. And you got cities like Salt Lake City, and you got cities like Salt Lake City and Nashville, Tennessee. You got cities out there, and Montreal. Montreal wants a team back. There are three cities out there that would die to have a baseball team.
I'm not denying that, Lou, but last year, I don't know if you noticed, the Marlins spent $97 million in payroll and the Rays spent $101 million in payroll. They're not the problems in this talk about not spending.
You look at the payroll for this year. You look at the Marlins for this year. You look at the Chicago White Sox for this year, and you look at the Pirates and the Athletics. Those are the four bottom feeders so far to going into this year. And each one of those teams, the year does not look promising for them. And then fan bases are getting tired of it. I don't know about Pittsburgh.
How the fan base is getting tired of it when nobody's showing up?
But that's what I mean. I mean, look, that's a great point that you just made. You just made a great point. None of the fans are caring because they don't show up. They don't show up because they don't put out winning. Look, Tampa Bay's an exception. We know how good their farm system is. We get to deal with that every year. We see it. But I'm telling you, like, teams like the Marlins and for instance, this is another good one. The Rays' roof got torn off during some big storm over the winter. Who paid for that? Major League Baseball paid for that. It's like a loan, and the owner's got to pay that money back. That owner should be making enough money to pay for that new roof. It don't make no sense.
I don't mind a Major League Baseball. I mean, if you owned a McDonald's and you had some damages, you don't think McDonald's Corporation is going to make sure their product looks good and the owner pays them back later? I agree. They probably shouldn't have teams in those areas if you can't support them. But it takes more than saying I want to leave to be able to leave. You got to have the rest of the owners on board with that. You are a franchise.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this about what Lou was talking about, because there are, I mean, look, we have bottom feeders. I don't know that all those teams, if I look at the White Sox, I can't tell if they're still in a rebuild, if they've just been this bad for this long. But, you know, when you start trading away pieces like they were last year, talking about trading Luis Robert Jr. and getting back prospects, you move your best pitcher, Garrett Crochet, to the Red Sox, something's telling me that they're going through a rebuild, whether they tell you that or not. So, like, I almost want to give the White Sox a pass. The Marlins, you know, they went out and bought that brand new stadium. We've talked about this. They had Stanton, Marcell Ozuna, Christian Yelich, JT Realmuto on that team. They traded all of them away because they couldn't afford to pay them after the fact.
Do you know one of the biggest obstacles in moving to Nashville? You know what it is? And I found this out when people were talking that nonsense about the Orioles going there. One of the biggest obstacles is the Atlanta Braves, the Kansas City Royals, and the St. Louis Cardinals. You know why?
Because
those are the three teams that occupy Nashville, and they do well there. They do very well there. So now you got to get those three teams to be on board and voting for you to go there. You don't think those three teams have friends?
Yeah.
Those owners have friends?
Well,
there's a big obstacle. It's not, you don't just get to move a team. That's why I laughed when people were saying the Orioles were moving. The Yankees aren't voting for that.
Yeah.
The Marlins aren't voting for that. The Rays aren't voting for that. Back when the Oakland A's wanted to move, they aren't voting for that. The Boston Red Sox aren't voting for that, because it's like the Yankees, they like their fans coming down here. That's five teams right now that's not voting for that. You don't just get the move just because you want to move. Scott in Columbia. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. doing? First, Jeremy, I don't know if you're aware, Otani's contract counts, the present day value is $460 million, so it counts $446 million a year against the
luxury tax. Okay. No, I did not know that. Because, again, when they were talking about it this morning about deferring that money, they made it sound
It just helps the team and not the taxes, what you're saying, Scott.
Exactly. I worked for the Orioles for almost a decade back, and I was there during the strike of 94, and I said when they didn't come back with a cap then that we may not see one. But what they need is, if you look at all the baseball teams, last year they spent about $4.5 billion on salary. If you take a low cap of $100 million, a high cap of $2 to $250, and just spread the money out equally, the players are getting the same money.
Yep.
It's just spread out differently. That's what they've needed. And Rubenstein even said recently that he thinks a cap is needed. So I think when they go up for the new contract in 26, it's going to be a crazy year, and I wouldn't be surprised if the whole year's canceled.
I agree with you, Scott. I mean, when you create a floor, you take away the ability of some of those teams to spend so much on the top end, because now you have to spend. You have to spend, and I think that's the remedy for it all. Thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. A couple of things, though, like what we're talking about with all this deferred money and how things go with the players. It is kind of ironic to see that the Dodgers are the ones doing this as they're moving around, because them and the Mets. So the Dodgers and Mets are the only two teams that spent over $300 million this offseason, like as far as their salary. I hate saying salary cap, but their team salary goes. They said there's another, like, I don't know, 10 teams that are above 200 or right, or not above 200, but right below that.
Right.
And then there's most of the league is 150 or below. And then you get to, I mean, the Orioles are still below that $100 million mark. The Pirates spent $80 million, but they spent most of that on three players, their own players. Not free agents from other teams. It just, they need to take a deep look into this.
Rockabacco joins us at 7:30 for more baseball, but on the other side is football. Colin Cowherd had a comment on Lamar Jackson. Makes you wonder if a Super Bowl, if Lamar is already on this level, what would a Super Bowl win mean for him? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.